of talk entering this season about recapturing that 51 win mark. You guys were at 50 right now. First time in franchise history, back to back 50 win seasons.
Who was talking about getting back to 51 wins? Cool story, bro. We got much bigger dreams to go.
We're going to bring y'all into our huddle.
You are in the Warriors Huddle with me, Bram, and with me as always, my boy and producer, Scott.
Scott here.
Scotty, back to the two-man booth, man. How are you?
The throwback.
Do you prefer these episodes where you and I just get to throw the shit around, or do you like it when we bring in the esteemed guests?
I like the esteemed guests because then I have to talk to you less.
Yeah, fair enough. Every time I have to hear your voice, it just kills me, so hopefully we'll be able to get through this fairly quickly. We've got a lot of things to talk about. The first thing I want to start off with is a little bit dated, but I still think is a lot of fun. That's the Warriors Clippers matchup from last week. Easy game. The Warriors ended up kind of blowing them out, 106-98, in a score that seems a lot closer than the actual game was. But my focus isn't on the game. In fact, first thing I want to talk to you about happened after the game.
But before we even get there, I just got to get this off my chest. There's nothing like romping the Clippers. There's something about beating that team that is so much fun to just absolutely clobber them. I think it's a lot because Doc Rivers is always mouthing off with some quote here or there, and obviously there's a rivalry, but it's just a really fun to just smash them.
I feel like I haven't heard the word romp be used for a while, and it made me like legitimately happy that you threw it out there. I completely agree with you. I think a lot of it has to do with how much these two teams seemingly hated each other, and over the last couple of years it's been ramping up and we view it as this huge rivalry, and then when they actually play this year, the Warriors have just been romping them. Did I use that right?
No, definitely.
Yeah, thank you, man. Yeah, and there is something in particularly satisfying about that. I'm 100% with you. Apparently, that romping hit the Clippers in a weird way because after the game, Draymond, who played well, is given a post-game interview, and Dante Jones, a man who I have not said his name for years, if ever, came up and seemingly purposefully bumped into Draymond. Did you see a replay of this, or did you see it happen live?
Yeah. It made me mad that I didn't see it live because I was watching and I was like, should I watch this post-game interview with Draymond? Now I'm going to get on with my day, move on to the next thing. And of course, a little drama happens. But I did see the replay. And to me, there's no question that this was on purpose.
Yeah.
I don't know if it's something that the Clippers talk about, but this is now the second incident where a Clipper has done something so on purpose and tried to pretend that it was a fake.
Yeah.
I take us back to last year's playoffs. Blake Griffin threw water on the Golden State
Will
Warriors
Melman,
fan.
Will Melman, baby, sure.
Will Melman, who we had on the podcast.
Friend of the podcast, absolutely right.
And again, that was something where Griffin pretended to just be kind of throwing his hands up in disbelief, and he happened to splash water on the only Golden State Warriors fan in the front row. Then this is the same thing, Dante Jones. I mean, he looks at the camera. Right. It's just so obvious.
You know what this screams to me is that you can't be a fake tough guy. You can tell your team, be tough. You can tell people, get in there, scratch them up, foul, be nasty. But if that's not really in your DNA, then you don't really know what the hell to do with it. You know, these guys lose, game's over, time to move on. Dante Jones apparently sees Draymond giving an interview. I mean, the whole thing is over. And then he decides to kind of shoulder him. And, you know, for me, obviously, I haven't talked to Dante, but it's almost as if he thought in his mind, well, I'm supposed to be tough, and that's their big go-to guy. I'm going to go ahead and show him. Whereas, like, a real tough guy, like the Bad Boys in the Pistons, or, you know, like the legitimately physical teams, Memphis now, they're not going to do that bullshit after the game. They don't care about it after the game.
Right, they do it during the game.
Right, they only care about it when it actually matters. And this was as if he heard Doc Rivers, you know, screaming in his head and he had to address it. Just so that we can put everyone on the same page. Obviously, it's a little bit different on sound than it is, you know, actually watching it. But here is a replay of both the interview, and you'll hear Draymond start to talk and then stop because that's when he gets bumped, and also the announcers talking about a bump immediately afterwards.
Lisa Salters caught up with Draymond Green afterward.
I was able to knock a few shots down early. And, you know, once I knocked a few shots down, they really started closing out hard on my shots, so I was able to drive in the lane. And once we went small, the lane really opened up for me. I was able to get to the rim, and my teammates found me and put me in a position to be successful.
Well, looks like Dante Jones got the message not to be nice in this one.
Well, yeah, and I think they'll see each other again with that long second look.
Just a love tap. That's all that is. Come on.
That's a lot of court. He could have walked a lot of different ways.
Yes, he
back could've. To the locker room.
I love Draymond Green's reaction to it, too. Like, really?
Watching that replay, there's absolutely no question in my mind that was on purpose. Dante Jones goes out of his way to pretend like he's talking to somebody else. I can't tell who the hell the Clipper teammate is, but literally goes like real deep. Oh, I'm not even looking this direction, and knocks into him. So what a ridiculous set of events.
He got fined $10,000 for that.
I saw that. And there's been a little bit of fallout since. Dante pretended like it wasn't a big deal at all. Here's what he said afterwards. Quote, "That's not how you bump someone if you purposely want to bump them." Draymond didn't downplay it. In fact, he gave a great quote. Here's Draymond. "If Jones gets suspended, they may not even notice. So I guess good bump by, but I definitely expect it to be reviewed by the NBA. You know, for him to look at me and look at me again and bump me when I'm doing a post-game interview, that's really smart too when it's on ABC. And obviously, the post-game interview is the highlight of that segment. And you bump somebody? He got some camera time, which he needed because there wasn't much celebration from their bench today, so you didn't see him much. So he got the camera time he was looking for. He served his purpose in today's game." So Draymond came out fairly deep there, huh?
Oh, I love that. You see Doc Rivers came out, though.
Yeah, and Draymond's not really tough. And
yeah, what a violent bum.
Yeah, exactly right. I will say that although this shouldn't change the relationship between the Warriors and the Clippers, they already dislike each other. It does change my relationship with the Clippers. I'm going to go ahead and anoint them as my most hated team now. The roster of hateable faces on this team is just amazing. Chris Paul, giant asshole. Blake Griffin, giant flopping bitch. J.J. Redick, looks like a Disney bully who I'd like to punch in the face. Big Baby Davis, killed us forever, even though the fact he looks like a third-string linebacker in the XFL. Austin Rivers, the new guy, the nepotism kid. And now we can add Dante. No one knew who the hell you were before this, and we still don't know who the hell you are now, Jones. I think this is it. This is the team I hate the most.
I'm on board with that. There's that's a laundry list of hateable dudes. DeAndre Jordan I'd put on there, too.
Oh,
mainly just because Doc Rivers just slurped him so hard for Defensive Player of the Year. But, you know, did you see also Big Baby Davis got warned for the flop when Barbosa threw the elbow, which that made me happy, too. So the Clippers just came out of this just losing all around.
I was going to ask, and I think you've already answered. Let me ask it anyways. You know, I am always overly emotional. I always take things too hard. I like to hate people. I mean, that's kind of my move. That's not you. I mean, you tend to be a little bit more focused. Do you actually hate teams? Do you get caught up in that? Or do you just care about beating them and move on?
I grew up with the Pistons-Bulls rivalry with the Jordan rules and Detroit just absolutely demolishing, you know, Jordan and all those all those Bulls. So
is this some kind of alternate reality that I was not aware of?
I definitely, definitely hate teams. Right. And no one more than that Bulls team. But it definitely continues. My favorite reaction from this was Steve Kerr, who said when he found out about the fine, said, "Whoa, he didn't get his money's worth."
I love that. Just incidentally, one of my new favorite things about watching, I mean, the offense, what a great development, what he's done for the team, what a great development, where the team is, what a great development. But every now and again now, the camera will catch Kerr on the sideline just destroying a ref, just dropping F-bombs and looking furious.
Even if they're up 25, yeah, he's still going nuts over like a stupid travel call.
I love that so much, just so much, especially where we came from with Mark Jackson, which actually is the perfect transition. That's the other thing about this game that really caught my eye. Mark Jackson came back and was an announcer again. Now, this was the second time, so, you know, the novelty has worn off a little bit, but the bitterness has not.
No, I think it's only gone up.
It's amazing. So I have 2 points. One, Jackson is absolutely bitter. He had a bunch of little things. The thing that stuck out to me, Stan Van Gundy points out that the Warriors have the... Jeff Van Gundy. I'm sure Stan would have too, but he's too busy actually coaching the team. Stan Van Gundy says that the Warriors now has a average margin of victory of 15.5 points, and that is the most that has ever been done in the NBA. And there's a couple of beats of silence, and then Jackson says, "If they can sustain it," and it's like, Jesus, I mean, you can immediately tell the bitterness. So that's still there. But two, and this is a new point for me, I associate with that bitterness. In fact, maybe I don't support it, but I completely understand it. Let me give you
You're on board with where Mark Jackson's coming from?
Exactly right. If my wife broke up with me, then she moved on and she did phenomenally better. She found another guy and that was the love of her life and her life just improved dramatically. And then they decided to do a national televised documentary about it. And everyone in the world had to watch the improvement that she had in her life. And they came to me and they wanted me to be a part of that documentary. In fact, I had to be an announcer on it.
You were required to, right. in order to get your paycheck.
Sat me down and they said, "Bram, look at how much better your wife is doing. Do you know how goddamn bitter I would be? Do you know how many caterpillar comments I would drop? Like, well, she learned how to be in a relationship with me, and it makes sense that she got there because we worked out all the problems. So, I mean, I get it. I know where he's coming from, but I'd like to think that this man who views himself as a preacher, views himself as a head coach, who is a genuinely mature adult, is a lot more mature than me and wouldn't bring this bitterness. But I'll tell you, I associate with it.
What did you want him to do instead? Like, how do you want him to react in this certain situation? I don't know how else you could say it for him, because he wants and deserves credit for getting the team to where it is. Yeah. I don't know. Do you think the bitterness comes more from the fact that he wasn't there this year because he thinks he could have done what the team is doing this year? Or do you think it's because he's just not getting credit for this year?
I think they're sitting him down, making him watch a team that is dramatically and objectively doing much better. I mean, the NBA follows stats. We don't have to guess. I mean, they're doing way better. And they're literally putting a camera on him. Watch this. Now tell us, how much better was this? And, oh, yeah, by the way, who was the coach last year? I mean, I don't know what the hell they expect from him, and I'm not sure how the hell he could react. I mean, it is what it is. Enough about Mark Jackson. New focus, JaVale McGee. This is a 7-foot player. It's a guy who was playing for Denver for a while. He got traded over to Philly, and then Philly bought him out because he has no interest in playing for those bottom feeders. There was a while when it looked like he was going to sign with Boston. Now that hasn't happened. He's literally just a free agent out there waiting to sign on with a contender. For a period of my life, I actually really liked JaVale McGee.
Oh, I mean, he was a wizard, man. He was almost a part of a potential kind of resurrection with him and Andre Blatch, and you know, we had some stuff working there.
I feel like you and I may use the word resurrection differently, but either way, you might be right. I forgot that you had a little inside knowledge on him. For those who aren't immediately picturing who we're talking about, this guy's 7 feet, 252 pounds. He's been playing for what, like 6-7 years? I mean, he's been around the block a few times. Very athletic, a little sulky, doesn't always apply himself over his career. Averaged 8.4 points, 5.5 rebounds this year in Denver, 5.2 points, 2.8 rebounds.
Well, he's also known to do some of the stupidest stuff that we've ever seen
and
on
like
a basketball
show
court.
Off for no reason, like those kind of things. So the obvious question is, should the Warriors bring him in? What do you think?
I don't see the point. Why would you need this guy around? I think if this was maybe 2 years ago or maybe even last year, when I think the Clippers were a real factor and you needed a big athletic guy to deal with DeAndre Jordan, then I'd really consider him. But at this point, you're looking more like at teams such as Memphis, where you need bruiser types. And McGee's just an athletic, long guy. I don't see him necessarily being what they need in the backup big man.
If you had asked me, do I want this guy during the first quarter of the game against Phoenix, I would have said absolutely not. I don't think he's got the mentality to sit and not get any minutes. And because of that, I think he destroys the kind of tight chemistry these guys have. And why chance it? It doesn't make any sense. What's the upside? Then you'd ask me right after the second quarter, more specifically after Andrew Bogut went into the back in the locker room, what seemed to be a left hand injury, I would have said yes, 1,000 times yes.
Yeah.
So this whole thing depends on Miguel or JaVale's mentality. If he is willing to come and understands, you might not play, man. Like, you might not. You know, maybe you're going to be at the end of the bench. It is what it is. Are you down to do that? He says yes, bring him in. We need the depth.
Yeah,
we need
well, that. He's never been, I think, a bad locker room guy. That's never he kind of does stupid, foolish stuff, but it's never been from a standpoint of he's a bad teammate or a cancer to have in the locker room. So I don't worry too much about him necessarily blending in with the chemistry.
He's never been on a team this deep, though. He's always gotten minutes. I don't think he's going to go in there and be an asshole like DeMarcus Cousins. I think it's more, does his frustration start to boil over? He comes over now, literally doesn't play. I mean, just doesn't play all the way through. Is he going to be happy enough to be on a contending team, or is he going to take it hard that he's sitting at the back end of the bench? If the answer to that is he can handle it, bring him on. If the answer is that he can't, don't.
See, I think also you're seeing Festus start to play a lot better.
Yep.
And I as Festus works into game shape and gets more games under his belt, I think he's showing that he can really be that backup to Bogut. And I have a lot of faith in Festus continuing to improve and play well. And maybe the fact that JaVale's name got mentioned inspired Festus a little more, but I don't know. I really believe, and I'd rather stick with Festus than bring in JaVale.
What this is reminding me of, actually, and I wasn't going to ask you this, but I will now, another person whose mentality is concerning me, it hasn't been raised yet, but I think we might see it soon, is David Lee. For the first time since he was a rookie, he got a DNP CD, did not play coach's decision in Phoenix. Not a minute. 2 years ago, this guy was an all-star, face of our franchise. Now, on the most successful team he has ever played on, he's sitting at the end of the bench doing that move, looking over at Kerr and not getting his number.
No, that was crazy when I saw that. And it's funny, too, because I recently, I don't know if it was before or after this, saw a quote from Kerr where he said if David Lee played X number of minutes, he'd still be an 18-10 guy or something like that. I mean, I think probably putting out to the press that he still believes in him.
Well, he's putting it out to David Lee, right? I mean, that's who the hell he's talking to. So what do you think? I mean, there's no way we'll ever know unless D. Lee decides to come on this podcast. But do you see this as a growing problem, or is this guy so locked into this locker room and so mature that it's not going to explode? He'll be fine.
I don't know David Lee, and I don't have much insight into the inner workings of the Warriors. The only thing I do remember is when we had Rusty Simmons on recently, he talked about David Lee just being an unbelievable locker room guy.
Bringing a cake to the plane, right.
Right, like, so I think that he continues to be a great guy. I don't think this becomes an issue. I kind of want to hope that some of the haters out there on the Warriors, mainly East Coast writers, realize that David Lee is not the David Lee that we used to know when they consistently say, well, the Warriors have two all-stars coming off their bench, so they're like super deep. We don't have that anymore. Right. I mean, I do think we have a good bench, but people hype it up like we have this incredible all-star cast coming off the bench, which isn't true.
Absolutely. Also, he's not the David Lee that we need. When he was an all-star, we needed that 20-10 from him to be the team that we were. That's not true anymore. That's not the role he is playing for us in any way, shape, or form. I don't know what he will do. This will be my last thing I'll add on it, but maybe I'm just projecting the same way it was Mark Jackson. I wouldn't take it well. I wouldn't. You know, the better that they did, the happier I would seem, but the more turmoil I'd have going on inside. And if it got to the point where I was literally not playing anymore, and it's hard for me to maintain those relationships, hard for me to seem like I was important to this team when I show up and I'm partying with the boys, right? Because I'm no longer occupying that space. That's going to bother me. And at some point it's going to spill out. Maybe David Lee is much more mature. Everyone else seems to be, but I at least wanted to throw it out there.
No, I mean, I'm the complete opposite, actually. I would love to play on a championship team more than anything else. And when I say play, I just mean be a member of it and really not play. Because to me, I don't know, you seem like the type of guy who, I heard this analogy one time. There was a guy mixing cement outside of a building as a construction zone. Okay?
I'm so excited to see where this is going.
And somebody came up to him and said, oh, you know, what are you doing? And he's like, oh, I'm mixing some cement for a brick that's going to go into this wall. Then there's another guy mixing cement. The guy goes up to him. What are you doing? He goes, I'm building a cathedral. And that's the output. That's the outlook that I have where I said, you know, I'm a 12th member on this team, but I'm putting my work every day. I'm building that cathedral. It's going to be beautiful when it's all done. You seem like a guy who's just like, oh, I'm just doing one brick. You know, I'm not a big player in this.
I'll tell you what, if someone asked me what I was doing right now, I'd say I'm listening to the longest analogy on the face of the earth. I understand where you're coming from. I won't cop to that, but I think everyone out there listening probably knows you're probably right. New thing. Earlier this year, when I was marveling at the Warriors' success, we were saying that they had a shot at least three awards at the end of the year. We were saying they had Coach of the Year, Most Improved Player, and MVP, Coach being Kerr, obviously MVP being Curry, Most Improved being Draymond. I'll add a fourth now, Defensive Player of the Year. Kerr is really pushing Draymond. Do you think these guys go 0-4? Is there a chance they get one of those? What do you think?
I think they go 0-4. I really do. I think at best you see a Coach of the Year that goes to both Kerr and Budenholzer in Atlanta.
Yeah.
I mean, you can take it one by one. Coach of the Year, that's probably their best shot. I think that Steve Kerr, you know, I think that he kind of does have a good shot at winning that. MVP, I think that you see awards don't often go to people who are just doing well this year. There seems to be a little bit of a lifetime achievement part of all the NBA awards. And so that's why you see like Harden, who's more established than Curry, has more years of good play.
Taking baby steps towards it.
Right.
I think that they will get at least one. And I think it's going to be either MVP or Coach of the Year. And not necessarily because either deserves it, but because the NBA and all the people who ultimately vote on this is going to be under enough pressure where if the Warriors have the best record in the NBA at the end of the year, they're going to have to reward them somehow. And it's going to be either Kerr, which will probably be the easier guy, honestly, especially now that Cleveland has kind of eclipsed Atlanta. So Budenholz might not have the same kind of shine that Kerr does.
Well, what do you mean eclipsed?
That Cleveland now seems to be the favorite team out of the East. People aren't talking about Atlanta as the end-all, be-all anymore. Now we're kind of looking at Cleveland probably making the finals. If that continues to be true, then I think Kerr falls out of it. But I don't think that they're going to be able to end this without giving somebody something.
What about Defensive Player of the Year? Does that go to DeAndre, or does Draymond get that?
You know, I don't know, and I haven't been paying close enough attention to it. The Warriors-centric homer in me says, of course, it's Draymond. DeAndre is a great rim protector, but he doesn't play every single position the way that Draymond does. Draymond can guard a point guard as easily as he can guard a center.
No, he guarded Chris Paul in the same game that he did DeAndre Jordan.
That, to me, hook, line, and sinker, of course he deserves it, but he doesn't have the same kind of sexy stats that DeAndre does with the blocks per game and that kind of stuff. So I don't see that as much as a lock. I don't know who else would be most improved player.
What, and who do you have for that?
Draymond.
What about Klay? That was the big talk at the beginning of the year, was that Klay Thompson.
Do you think Klay has improved this year over last year more so than Draymond has improved?
Oh gosh. I don't think so, mainly because Draymond's baseline was so much lower.
Right.
But
I mean, he's gone from a guy who is going to be a sidelight player to a certain max player. I mean, we know that now. He's going to get like $14 million a year. If we had had this conversation last year, we were talking eight.
Yeah, but this also goes back to my lifetime achievement part of these awards, which is you would have said the same thing for Klay Thompson a year ago. Like, this guy's not going to be a max player, and he's worked himself into a max deal.
Just to finish out the argument, Draymond's trajectory this year has been nothing but up. Up, up, up. I mean, it continues to go in an amazing way. Klay right now is in a little bit of a slump. Weird thing to say. I mean, he's still playing remarkably well.
Yeah, I know.
But
that's
not the same kind of trajectory, you know?
Yeah.
I don't know. We've stopped doing the look around the league. I've stopped watching them quite as closely. Maybe someone like Jimmy Butler might be the most improved player, but I do think the Warriors' chances are best laid at Coach of the Year and MVP.
Yeah, but before we leave the awards part of this, I do have to say one stat that I found from Jared Williams, who wrote a great article on WarriorsWorld.net. He pointed out the Clippers defense is ranked 15th in the league, and it actually improves when DeAndre is on the bench. Whereas with Draymond on the court, the Warriors defense is the league's best. And with Draymond off the court, the defense ranks 14th in the league. Which is, I mean, that's a huge drop.
Absolutely right.
With one, off one player.
I mean, what you said not 45 seconds ago to me is the most compelling factor. In the same game, he guarded, you know, what, the second best point guard in the world, and then went down and guarded one of the last true giant centers, and he did both so competently and capably, and the team didn't lose anything. I can't think of another player in the league who can do that. For example, I don't remember DeAndre Jordan guarding Steph Curry at any point during this game, certainly not on purpose, and they would be screwed if he did.
Yeah.
So, I mean, if there are voters out there who listen to this show, and I'm sure there are, that's what I would suggest watching. Watch this Clipper game, listen to Mark Jackson, hate Dante Jones, and make sure you recognize that we're all out there building a cathedral, not just a brick by brick. All right, random conversational switch, something I wanted to bring up to you for a while. Let's lay a little bit of a foundation. Serial, the podcast. Did you listen to that?
Oh, yeah, that was great.
All right. I mean, for those, like, what, five or six people who haven't heard of it, unbelievably successful podcast. Really what they're going back through is a murder case. A guy is accused of murdering his girlfriend, and the two main characters are this guy named Jay and this other guy named Anon. And Jay supposedly helped Anon bury a body.
Anon.
Who cares? Jesus, it's right up there with Stan and Jeff Van Gundy. Nonetheless, here's why I'm bringing it up to you. During the podcast, one of the jurors in the case gets interviewed, and she's talking about Jay. She goes, well, everybody has someone in their life who you could turn to if you had to get rid of a body. It could be a cousin or a friend or somebody who's out there. Now, just off the cuff, I don't think I have a friend like that.
I remember being like, what?
Yeah, that doesn't make a whole lot of sense, but it did make me think, let's apply that to the NBA. So my question for you is,
okay, random, but
you've got a body. You've got a body you've got to get rid of, and I want what player, both past and current, who you would turn to get rid of them. And I think the factors are, not only does this person have the means to get rid of it, but they wouldn't, you know, crush under pressure. If the police came knocking on their door, these guys would have your back. Who's your pick?
Well, for my current player, I guess I would go with Damian Lillard.
Oh, why? Because from Oakland, you bastard?
Well, he's got the Oakland roots, which means that I imagine he's gotten some exposure to being in tough situations, maybe involving some criminal element. And but more than anything, I think this is all about the personality involved.
Yeah, sure.
And I think that he seems to be good at rising to the occasion and being someone who's sort of under the radar.
Yeah.
You know, here he is at Weber State, comes out of nowhere and wins Rookie of the Year.
Sure.
So he's that guy who he's not going to get much attention at the beginning, but he can still get the job done when the moment is it's time to get the job done.
He seems like the kind of guy who would be crazy loyal to and kind of has a chip on his shoulder. So that if you did share this with him, I'm worried about him being able to get rid of it. It doesn't seem like he's quite shady enough. Even though he came from Oakland, I don't know if he's going to have the ability to actually get rid of the body. But I do support the idea of cops come knocking on this fool's door and you guys are friends. Lillard is not giving up. No way. It's not coming out of him. That's all I'll give him credit for. Here's my current guy. It pains me to say it. Kobe Bryant.
Kobe.
You know, Kobe.
Which Kobe?
I should say current Kobe. Kobe this year, because of how honest he has been recently, specifically on Twitter, I actually have a lot more respect for him, but I don't want to get sidetracked. I want to stay on task here. One, Kobe is a cold motherfucker. I believe that he has somebody he could turn to help us get rid of a body. There's someone in his life for sure. Maybe he already has. God knows. But I think he'd have that. And then two, as the whole Colorado situation showed, this guy does not give shit up when he is brought into the interrogation room. He just does not. Worst comes to worst, he'd blame Shaq. And we wouldn't even have to worry about the body. You know, so he's my guy.
Yeah, but that was when his ass was on the line.
Yeah.
And when it's your ass on the line, I'm not sure that he's necessarily going to close his mouth, because he also seems like the type of guy who has a lot to lose. And if he needed to give you up in order to save himself, I think he'd do it in a
Bingo.
Heartbeat.
That's my problem. I'm putting all the eggs in the basket of Kobe's not going to have any future legal problems. Because if he does, when they come in there and hit him up, he's like, oh, well, Bram had me hide a body. I mean, you might want to go look over behind Kmart because we put it right over there. As long as that didn't happen, I think he's my go-to guy. Let me go to my past guy, Charles Oakley. God, do I feel good about Oakley. Super hard. He's not giving up anything. I can see him being in an interrogation room and just not talking. Just not. Just standing there for as long as you want to keep him. Just doesn't care at all. Also, incidentally, one of the dirtiest players we have ever seen.
Oh, you know he can get the job done here.
No, he'd keep it in his trunk just for as long as he wanted and never really care about it. So I feel like Oak's my cereal guy.
No, that's not a bad pick. For my throwback, I'm going to go with Spud Webb.
Oh, can he even lift a body?
I mean, yes, because If a guy who is 5'7" could somehow figure out how to make it to the NBA and succeed in the NBA to win a dunk contest, then this guy can figure out how to get rid of a body. I mean, he is just must be a creative, athletic freak of nature who has just some skills that could definitely be utilized here to get the job done.
Seems like a nice guy, though. Like, so everyone else we've already
That's what I love about him, is you would never suspect him. Like, he'd get into the interrogation room and the cop would be like, oh, Spud? Your name's Spud? I like you. I trust you. Oh, you weren't involved in this? Okay, you know, move on to the next suspect.
I should have said, as a prerequisite to all of this, we're imagining that we have a friendship with these guys that has already existed. We're not just calling them out of the blue. They know who the hell we're talking about. With that in tow, I feel like our first three guys, Oakley, Kobe, and Lillard, you make that call and their first thing is like, all right, here's what we got to do, or give me a second, I'll think about it. You make that call to Spud, I feel like you're going to hear, what? Like, what? What did you do? Like, he's going to have some questions that you're going to have to answer the right way, just because he's too nice.
There may be some convincing that needs to be done. I definitely could agree with that. But once he's on board, the guy's going to be creative. I mean, the guy was 5'7" and just succeeded in the NBA for multiple years. He started in the NBA.
That's exactly right. I'll tell you what. Pick, audience, this is to you guys, please help us out. Pick somebody. Which one of these guys should be the serial player of the year, I'll call him. We've put down our nominations. If there's somebody else out there who you think would be a lot better, shoot us an email. That one's at warriorshuddle@gmail.com. While I'm talking about emails, incidentally, we in fact got some recently, neither of which were too nice. Let me go ahead and just put them on record here. Eugene from San Jose apparently listened to that last episode with Coach McKillop and wrote this, quote, "I like your podcast, but Bram sure did kiss Coach McKillop's butt during the last show. Now, he wasn't the only person who had a take on this. In fact, Thunder's Balls, which is Balls with a Z from New York, had a similar, if not slightly less diplomatic email. Here's Thunder's Balls. Quote, Bram, you are a giant punk biatch with an O.
Whoa.
I've never seen anybody suck butthole like the way you sucked Coach McKillop's butthole. Too much butthole equals too much butthole. Now, right from the jump, let me thank both these people for writing in emails. We appreciate any feedback. Also, let me say, impossible to argue with the too much butthole is too much butthole logic. He's got me.
Yeah.
He's just got me. But a man who uses the phrase butthole three times in a single email, I feel like he's breaking his own rule there.
That may be the case, but I mean, I'm on board with these people. I think maybe I said two things during that time because you were slurping them so hard, like I couldn't get a word in.
I'm surprised you guys could hear the words that I was articulating because my face was so deep between his ass cheeks that I was worried about the sound actually reverberating out. So thank God it did. And thank you so much to both Eugene and Thunder's Balls. Your insights are well taken and the time you took to give them to us is well appreciated. Luckily, not all of it was bad. We spent a lot of time begging people out there to give us good reviews, and people have actually taken the time recently to do that. I won't read the reviews, but I will read their names. They were nice enough to do it. Let's at least give them credit. CMajor36, JXXFXX, Alex L. Snowden, and Dog Hands. You guys all were nice enough to hop up on iTunes for us, drop us a 5-star review, even drop some really kind words. Thank you. I know that you didn't have to do that.
No, definitely. Really appreciate that. It helps spread the word and keep the show going. So definitely thanks.
Yeah, that's exactly right. And as long as we're thanking you guys, thanks for listening this week. Huge fun, just the way it always is. Hopefully we'll see you again next week. Please remember, we'd like your takes on anything. Don't limit it to just a serial player of the year. If you want to hit us on email, we are at warriorshuddle@gmail.com. You want to hit us up on Twitter, we're at Warriors Huddle. Website, warriorsworld.net. And the podcasting services that we remain on are multiple. We are on iTunes. We're on other things too, aren't we?
Yeah, what the hell else are we on? Stitcher and Overcast.
Yeah, there you go. A bunch of things I haven't heard of. I have heard of iTunes. If you have an opportunity, get on there, write a review. We'll even shout your name out. We are that desperate. We really appreciate it. And if you have time, tell someone else. The more people who are listening, the better. Thank you, guys. Go Warriors. We'll see you in a week. I do my dirt up by my lonely. Find the phony. Pass the mask. One deep. Yeah, the only. Do or die. Wish luck for the Ruger. Rolling, patrolling in a stolen black cougar. Do my dirt up by my lonely. Hey, nobody's home. Good, good.